Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Sunday, September the 26th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, President Biden and Black people. Mr. President, you have a lot to answer for. All of that coming up next.
I mean it, especially those moments, and especially those moments when this campaign was at its lowest ebb. The African-American community stood up again for me. You always have my back, and I'll have yours.
Yeah, that's a lie. That has turned out to be a big fat lie. Welcome to this edition of the Politocrat. On this Sunday, dear listener, thank you very much for your time and your indulgence in listening. Whenever you may be listening to this, and what you just heard there is audio of, at that time, President-elect Joe Biden on November the 7th, 2020. That's almost a year ago now. It's amazing how quickly time flies. Talking about the African-American community has always had my back and I'll have theirs or I'll have yours, whatever the exact words were there. And that has proven to be a flat-out lie. He has not done anything with voting rights. He has not twisted arms like LBJ twisted arms. All that time in the Senate proved to not do anything for Joe Biden except to cozy up to Republicans and to conservative Democrats. Joe Biden wants to be liked. He doesn't want to wield power, and when he does wield it, he wields it against Black people. Case in point, for those of you who dare doubt me, let me cast you back to 1991. That year was particularly noteworthy because it was the year that the Senate confirmation hearing of Clarence Thomas, one Clarence Thomas, to be a justice on the Supreme Court of these here United States was held. A nation sat riveted for a number of days in prime time as Anita Hill, the professor Anita Hill, had testified before a group of white men in the Senate Judiciary Committee about how a Black man named Clarence Thomas had sexually harassed her and joked about pubic hairs in Coca-Cola. Excuse me for dredging that up and bringing back a very vivid and graphic and horrible image to your brains. And all this other stuff. And all that laundry was aired because, again, I think these white male senators took this as some titillation or something. And they peppered Anita Hill with questions as if she were the nominee waiting to be confirmed rather than a witness. And Joe Biden, who was the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, blocked, B-L-O-C-K-E-D, blocked witnesses from testifying on behalf of Professor Anita Hill, who would have corroborated her version of the events that happened while she was at the EEOC, Equal Opportunity Commission. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And Joe Biden, who was then Senator Biden in 1991, put the kibosh on the witnesses and friends of Professor Hill, who would have testified and bolstered her story, bolstered her version of events. He said, no, we don't have any time for more witnesses. Bye-bye. And those witnesses were never heard from. And I think had they been heard from, I do not think that Clarence Thomas would be sitting on the Supreme Court right now. But that's just one example of Joe Biden stabbing black people in the back. He never had our back. He just took us for granted. I voted for him. I worked for him really hard. Worked getting out the boat, not worked for him in terms of being employed. I'm just saying worked for him, worked hard to ensure he would get elected. I know I'm not the only one. I'm sure that you were part of the effort too to do this. And what do we get in return? A president who now is not fighting for voting rights, is not fighting for anything to do with the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, is not twisting arms on Capitol Hill the way that LBJ did, the master of the Senate himself. I mean, Joe Biden was in the Senate longer than LBJ was, and LBJ was still twisting arms, while Joe Biden has not twisted anything except himself into pretzels and knots, and has lied to black people in this country, among others. And he has been profoundly left wanting over what's going on right now in Haiti, and rather specifically at the U.S. border with Mexico. I mean, this is just disgusting. Whipping and lassoing black folk who are trying to cross and then sending them back to this violent existence and these Title 42 deportations, which President Biden still has not relinquished any control over. He's never said, nope, we're going to ban these deportations. He's just continuing to allow it to happen. This is a massive betrayal. A massive betrayal of black people and black voters specifically. Black people overall. And the black voters, you heard him promise, I'm have your back too. I'll have yours. And he'll only have your guts for garters is what he means. Yes, I have voted for him. I have a right to criticize him. And no, I'm not voting Republican. Don't be silly to whomever may be thinking that. The Democratic Party has had massive contempt for black people for so long, taken us for granted. And President Biden now, as he was candidate Biden, and as he was on that night that I played the clip just now from that night of November 7th, 2020, was President-elect Biden. And the thing is that he lied. He lied. And I think you just have to point that out. And just because I voted for someone doesn't mean I'm beyond criticizing them. There's so many people who vote for someone and, oh, I don't want to criticize them. And then they stay silent, which is sinful, that someone who voted for President Biden should be staying silent now. When you were all piping up nice and loud when the other guy was in, which tells me that you're not really, you don't give a damn about the Haitians, the black folk who are catching hell right now. You just care about your party, you know, your party. You're having a party. You care about your political party more than you do about black folk, about people who are being beaten and brutalized. You care more about, oh, well, it's my team doing it, so I'm not going to criticize it. Yay, team. That's what people are doing. And acting as if this brutality by U.S. Border Patrol agents is not happening to black folk, and it's not happening right now. This is the same Joe Biden, as you know, who didn't believe in busing. Another instance where his views or his actions fall way short. And when it comes to black folk, he doesn't care about us. Oh, I was a lifeguard at Wilmington swimming pool. And oh, please stop telling that freaking story. What are you doing now, dude? What are you doing? Apart from really looking like the biggest liar on the planet at the minute. No, granted, you're not going to tell, what, 100,000 lies or more? You're not going to tell that many lies. But this is despicable. And to use black folk and then to lie to us? Oh, God. I'm going to get into this a little bit more in just a moment. ¶¶
job. We have to figure out who is responsible for what and what to do about it. And we have to do this very delicately, otherwise people might get the wrong idea.
We have to lie.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
You're upset.
I'm upset.
Well, it's understandable. You mind if I give you a bit of advice? Of course, you know this because you're a smart guy. You should never make important decisions while you're upset.
You did. And American soldiers and innocent civilians are dead because of it.
I never ordered any...
Don't even think about playing that game with me. I will not let you dishonor their memories by pretending you had nothing to do with it.
How dare you come in here and lecture me?
How dare you, sir?
How dare you come into this office and bark at me like some little junkyard dog? I am the President of the United States.
It gives me no pleasure to do it, sir. As acting Deputy Director of Intelligence, it is my duty to report this matter to the Senate Oversight Committee.
And, you know, here's the thing. The Senate Oversight Committee is not going to do anything because one of its own, President Biden, right, is, and was, I should say, was part of the Senate for 50 years almost, 46 years, whatever. Well, you know, of course, he had 8 years as Vice President to President Obama. That clip you just heard was from the film from a film from 1994 called Clear and Present Danger. It was directed by, I believe, Philip Noyce. And, of course, it's the film based on one of Tom Clancy's books by the same title. And, you know, that's Harrison Ford there. You heard him as CIA agent Jack Ryan. I believe the person playing President of the United States may have been James Cromwell or someone else. And James Cromwell is a progressive, by the way, in real life. But I don't know if that was him. I had to check that. But the point is, that clip I decided to play because I think it's kind of analogous to where we are right now with President Biden. Now, has President Biden done some good, positive things thus far in the first 9 months of his term, 8 months of his term, 8 months and 6 days of his term? Exactly. Yes, he has, of course. I don't think there's any question. You can talk about, you know, in his first few weeks, getting hundreds of millions of people vaccinated with at least their first shot. You can talk about getting some of these bills passed. And you can talk about some of the other things. But when I look at what he's done regarding black folk. And when I hear that clip from the Tom Clancy book and the Philip Noyce film, Clear and Present Danger, with the President of the United States in the film saying, well, you know, we have to figure out how we're going to do this. We need to do it delicately. And this is what Biden's been about the last few weeks and months. And he's been horrible on foreign policy, dropping bombs on Syria, dropping bombs on civilians a few weeks ago in response to the so-called ISIS-K. Sounds like Special K, Kellogg's breakfast. ISIS-K, new ISIS-K. I mean, it just sounds so insane. Who's making up these freaking names? ISIS-K. Who is doing this? Anyway. Remember when bombs were dropped in response to the killing of, I think, 13 United States service personnel, military service personnel. So this was a revenge strike. And it turns out that strike, although the Pentagon, everyone else says, oh, no, we didn't kill any civilians, killed at least 13 people, civilians. And now President Biden's talking about this very delicately. And not to mention, of course, what's going on now. It's just so rough and evil, and it's typical of a system that discards and disposes of everyday human beings. That promises can be made off the back of a milk carton, napkin, toilet paper, I don't know. Because when President Biden spoke on November 7, 2020 to that crowd, the first clip I played, from Wilmington, Delaware, on that Saturday night. It sounded as good as gold. But I remember shedding a freaking tear, dear listener, earlier that day when it had been clear through CNN's projections that President Biden was, though now at that point, Joe Biden, president-elect, Joe Biden would become the president-elect. He was going to be the next president of the United States. Tears of joy. It was just great because, you know, I know that was a massive election. I know that, you know, we weren't going to get any more of the previous guy in there. And I also know that I spent so many hours working on this and getting people involved. And I wasn't the only one, of course. I'm just speaking for myself, though. And to see that that has been completely unraveled in less than one freaking year is dispiriting. It's not shocking or surprising because I had reason to know, and I know of Joe Biden's history, political history, and I had reason to know that, yeah, it's possible he could do this. It, you know, he didn't do it when he was with Obama because Obama was the top dog, so to speak, lack of a better terminology. But the fact that President Biden now has really shown us his backside, which is really disgusting, proves to me, and should prove to you, that power is his number one aim, to keep power. But he's not wielding power very effectively, nor is he wielding it intelligently. And any notion that he sounds like LBJ or has an opportunity to sound like him and do like him is just absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. I just do not get people who think that President Biden is doing this great job. Because by definition, he's got to be doing at least a B minus to C. If you factor in all these other things, I think President Biden, his grade goes down. And I gave him a B minus only a few weeks ago. You know? And it's just horrendous. I really do find this to be despicable. And it's the kind of thing that does make people go, oh, to hell with both of you parties, and then sit it out. And I don't know, I'm not going to suggest this openly. They would have to be really diabolical to do this. But I just want to know if people think that some Democrats are intentionally trying to tank this election coming up in 2024. Not the one in 2022, but 2024. I mean, is that what's going on? Because they're going about it the right kind of way if they want to. I mean, just by the way they're talking about these elections and how they're behaving and how there's been this milquetoast response in general to what's happened in Haiti and, excuse me, what's happened to Haitians here in the U.S., it just makes you wonder. It really does. Is a head screwed on straight or what? What is going on? It's very disconcerting. Very disconcerting indeed. And I think people have to get tough with this and call it what it is, a broken campaign promise and a dereliction of your office when you do this to Haitians and you refuse to stop the policy that's behind it. That's also trouble. It's really not a good look, Mr. President. And you really should reverse course on this one immediately. Welcome back. And so I get to thinking, dear listener, is President Biden making political calculations? I know that's a rhetorical question. Regarding what's going on along the border and the beating and the brutality against Haitians and the forced deportations. I mean, this is not something that a Democratic president should be doing. It's not something that any president should do, regardless of, you know, who they are, background, anything. This is very disgusting. And all of this, and I keep talking about this because I said just the other day, this nonsense about, oh, this is not who we are, it's everything about who we are. Look at the way we're treating fellow human beings. And look at the way this whole structure is treating. This is just so bad. And it's beyond disappointing. We have to register outrage about this. And the way you do that in a way that's disciplined and decent is to be calling the White House comments line at 202 is a Manhattan zip code, area code, 202, right? 445-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. I mean, this is really, this can't stand. We've got to be better. Got to be better. And it's as easy as that. Welcome back, dear listener. I'm going to just leave you with, I mean, I could go on about President Biden for a long time. And I've done episodes about President Biden, now President Biden, but then Joe Biden, for a long time on this podcast. And during April of 2020, I did at least one or two, I think maybe two of them, that really laid out some critical questions of Joe Biden. And I think that those episodes of last year, last April particularly, need to be revisited. And you need to listen to those again from over a year ago. Because I think that this is getting worse. And, you know, I don't know, are these Democrats caring about this? Or are they deliberately trying to throw away an election so that they can have something to run on against the Republicans? I don't know. But here's the opinion piece from Charles Blow from the New York Times today. It's called The Mendacity of Joe Biden. I'm going to read it all to you. Joe Biden once again disappointed many of the same black voters who were his strongest supporters. How much of this can or should black people stand? I always have to start columns like this with an upfront stipulation. Having Biden in the White House is exponentially better than having 4 years of Donald Trump. And in a two-party system, you must support one of the party's candidates. Protest abstentions are suicidal. Democrats who at least talk a more racially inclusive game are head and shoulders above Republicans who either court or abide open racists. It's not that Biden hasn't advanced policies that benefit the African American community. Efforts that the White House is quick to laud, and as it should, when he faces criticism. With that out of the way, there is a special appraisal of Biden at this point in his presidency, which doesn't specifically as it relates to Jack women. So that's, you know, that's one of those. And then here's the continuation of that article. The latest offense was the administration's disastrous mishandling of the Haitian migrant crisis at the southern border. Yes, there were the outrageous images of agents on horseback herding the migrants like cattle, and there was also the administration aggressively deporting the migrants back to Haiti. When I see those black bodies at the border, I am unable to separate them from myself or my family or my friends. They are us. There is a collective consciousness in blackness born of the white supremacist erasure of our individuality. Your accomplishment is never your own, but a credit to the race. Your sins are never your own, but a stain on the race. In America and throughout the diaspora, all black people are linked together like a chain of paper dolls. Your accomplishment is never your own. So it has been incredibly painful to witness the treatment of the Haitians, and it has been impossible not to recoil in disgust or burn with outrage. And to think, quote, this is happening on Joe Biden's watch, end quote. When it was reported that then President called Haiti a shithole country, Biden responded on Twitter saying, it's not how a president should speak. It's not how a president should behave. Most of all, is not what a president should believe. We are better than this. But deporting these Haitians is worse, not better. The Biden administration and Democrats in general always seem to say the right things on racial issues, but too often their deeds end up short when measured against their talk. As a justification for many other deportations, the Biden admin invoked Title 42, which is a law that allows deportations based on supposed health risks. The AP pointed out the Trump administration invoked it in March to sweeping effect and prohibiting entry by virtually anyone from Mexico and Canada, and essentially the sealing the northerns and the borders. Isn't that ironic? What's more, these particular migrants were being deported to a country many haven't been to in years. Many of them didn't leave Haiti in 2021. They left it years ago, and they were being deported into danger. Haiti has recently been devastated by an earthquake, flooding from an earthquake. I told you about this before, by the way, about Haiti this year alone. Deported into danger. Haiti has recently been devastated by an earthquake, flooding from a hurricane, and the assassination of the president. The administration's own special envoy to Haiti resigned on Thursday, refusing to be part of the administration's inhumane expulsions regime, citing the fact that Haiti is so dangerous right now that even American officials are confined to secure compounds because of the danger posed by armed gangs to daily life. And yet, the Biden administration refused to give any indication that it would stop invoking Title 42. The Washington Post reported on Friday. It seems to me that Biden tried to simultaneously eliminate the horrible optics the migrants present. Oh boy, listen to that statement. And to do so as quickly as possible while at the same time blunt the already loud criticism from Republicans that he is mishandling immigration and has an open borders policy. Yes, proof again that the Republicans do not give a crap about us either. No wonder, then, that the migrant encampment beneath the Del Rio Bridge has already been cleared. That those Republicans cannot be appeased. No matter what direction Biden takes, they will condemn it. So why not take the moral path, the righteous path? The Haitian migrant crisis came as negotiations for federal police reform have collapsed and a new law guaranteeing federal voting rights protection is still bogged down in Congress. I talked about this before. At a certain point, words ring hollow, even when they are bright words, the right words, excuse me. At a certain point, success in one area fails to cover the deficiencies in another. The Biden administration's handling of the Haitians was just wrong. It was also heartbreaking and disgusting. No White House fact sheet about other policies that benefited black people can ever cover that stain. These black people were treated like animals because Biden was afraid of a Washington full of monsters. As is too often the case, black people have become the political pawn, a weight around the ankle or a weapon in the hand. Our humanity is reduced to a calculation or a course. We can be chased down by horse-riding agents or weak-kneed presidents. After Biden was declared the winner of the 2020 election, the Reverend Sharpton called for the Washington Post last week, and he said, "Black America, you have my back, I'll have yours." Sharpton continued, "Well, we're being stabbed in the back, Mr. President. We need you to stop the stabbing from Haiti to Harlem." Oh my gosh. I'm going to just leave it right there. President Biden really is stabbing black people in the back. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.